315. Word of prayer. Our most loving Father, we come before you again to give you thanks for the many bountiful blessings. I pray, Father, that you would be with us. We do ask and pray and invite thy Spirit to attend our meeting now. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would rest upon our brother as he would stand before us to be able to deliver those things in which you have impressed upon his heart and mind. I pray, Father, that you prepare our hearts and our minds that we might receive those things in gladness. Father, we do look to thee for all things. I pray that you would be mindful of those that we've laid before thee upon thy throne of mercy, that you might care for each in their particular needs, those that were administered to this day and those that we have been praying for from time to time, the many needs that are among thy people. I pray, Father, that you might administer to each one. Now, Father, we do thank you, and we do desire to wait upon thee now at this time. And we pray it in the name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
Fading fast, and the night.
Thank you, Dolly, for that special. It's one of my more favored hymns. I enjoy that song. Times come that we might hear the Word of God. Our brother Andy, I know he's ready. He's traveled a lot today, so, and he also got to be able to be warmed up, I guess, up there in Payson, too. So I hope and pray that we're ready to hear the Word of God, and I'd like to turn it over now to our brother Andy Brown.
I do have a few thoughts this evening, similar to my thoughts I had in Payson this morning, but they got kind of the condensed version. I feel that life isn't getting any simpler. The day-to-day demands on my time, and I know those that around me get greater instead of less. And I find things that I once really looked forward to and enjoyed doing, I don't necessarily look forward to them so much anymore. I have a little dilemma this evening, and it's mine, it's not yours. A little burden on my heart, actually. And I have sat here debating whether to unload that or not. But I think I will. And I ask your patience with me for it. I feel like I probably, not probably, I do owe my brother Gordon here an apology, and he probably doesn't even know it, but and I'd like to make that apology that I had kind of some bad feelings in my heart, and I know any time that we allow that to exist, the adversary uses it for his benefit. So I'm sorry, Gordon, for those feelings that you didn't even know I had. But and I mentioned that I feel the stresses of life, and I'm sure that thing that Gordon didn't know that he did added to those stresses, and I felt like I just should publicly ask for his forgiveness. And with that said, somebody that was at camp, not Andrew, who else do I want to limit from this? Tell me what the theme of the team challenge was. Not Aaron. Even though maybe I should be asking Aaron. Who else was there? Matt. Do you know what the theme was? Do you remember? Someone help him out here.
Titus 2:12.
Can you quote that to us? How about Dolly or Jennifer? Not exactly. Andrew, can you help him out a little bit? Let's read it. Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust in this present world. That's Titus 2:12. And actually, I would like to start in 2:11. I was just checking to see if you guys paid attention last week or not. Spent a whole week there talking about one scripture. In the 11th verse, in the second chapter of Titus, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." That was the theme. They also added this verse in there with it. "Looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And as I contemplated this verse throughout the last week, I thought, you know, maybe I have something to learn here too. What is it actually saying? And as we explored it in depth in different classes, I thought to myself, and of course it was partly my responsibility to teach one of those classes, and my part was denying worldly lust. There was a bazillion scriptures that talk about that very thing. And my desire was that I could somehow, in a very simple way, relate to these young people how they might deny worldly lust. For us this evening, my desire is that we take a look at the whole scripture, that we deny worldly lust and ungodliness, and we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. A pretty big order, actually, considering our world today. The average guy on the street, I wouldn't consider living soberly, righteously, and godly. Our brother Joel at the campfire back there one night made a statement. And it really wasn't the point of his talk, but it was just a statement in his talk. And it just sunk home to me. I mean, all those kids there, he's really talking to the young people, young men, young women. But it really sunk home to me. And that is, he said that the day come that he had to declare himself. That he had to declare who he was to the guys at the fire station, to his friends. You know, more than just if someone had opportunity to talk to him, more than just living a quiet example, that he had to declare himself. And I thought in my own heart, yeah, that's true. That's true. And since then, as circumstances has come up, I thought, you know, is this a time I need to declare myself? Is this a time? Our brother Bob, maybe he'll tell you about this testimony. He told us today that he was in a situation the other day that around a bunch of people that he really didn't know. And they were going to eat lunch, and it came time that he thought, man, somebody's going to have to say the prayer here, but these guys are obviously not praying type of folk, you know. And he thought, what do I do? Well, maybe Liza and me will just kind of say a prayer to ourselves. And then he thought, no, you know, I got to stand up. I got to be. He taught the class at camp about being a man, about truly being a man, a God. And he said, no, I can't do it. I got to stand up. And so he went to the host, whoever was there, you know, that kind of looked like they were in charge, and said, you know, we normally say a prayer. Would that be okay? That would be wonderful, the person said. And so he did. And then suddenly someone that he had been talking to, you know, found out that he was a Sunday school teacher and stuff. And amazingly, when we do declare ourselves, it makes a difference. And I wanted to relate that back to this verse that is living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is that something we do? Or are we just a quiet Christian? Just kind of, I'll bow my head, kind of bow my head and say my prayer to myself. You know, or when guys are talking, I just smile and not say anything. Or do we declare ourselves? And I'll tell you, from my own experience, it's something difficult for me to do. It's something difficult for me to do. Right now on my crew, I have two bikers, motorcycle enthusiasts, Harley-Davidson guys covered with tattoos and ponytails. You know, how do you declare yourself to this guy? You know, and I got another guy he and I have talked religion a little bit, and he's like, well, when I got about 18, I stopped doing that. You know, I got more important things to do. And I said, well, when I was 18, that's when I got serious about it. And I think that if we're going to live righteously and godly in our present world, in our surroundings, then we're going to have to let people know who we are. We got to let people know from the rooftop who we are. And partly how we're going to do that is knowing who we are ourselves. I'd like to read a verse in Alma, the 19th chapter. In the 12th verse. Alma 19, chapter 12, starting in the 12th verse, and it says, and this was Alma talking to his son. He says, "But behold, ye cannot hide your crimes from God. And except ye repent, they will stand as a testimony against you at the last day. And now, my son, I would that ye should repent and forsake your sins and go no more after the lust of your eyes, but cross yourself in these things. For except ye do this, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, remember and take it upon you that you cross yourself in these things. And I command you to take it upon you to counsel your elder brothers in your undertakings." And I'm going to stop right there in the middle of the verse. Here Alma was trying to tell his son a clue, a hint, some firm instruction on how to get free of worldly lusts, to separate himself from the world. Because I know, like I said, it's difficult. And I find oftentimes, and especially with young people, we want to be a statue unto ourselves. We don't need any help. I can do it. And I don't think we can. I don't think we can. Honestly, I don't think we can. We do need help. That's why we have this body. And I find the wording here that Alma used quite interesting, in as much as he says, cross yourself. Cross yourself that you don't enter into this worldly lust. Double check yourself. Go out of the way. And the other counsel that I really encouraged in my class in Missouri was counsel with your elder brothers. Counsel with somebody you know, somebody you trust. If you're having a difficulty, if you're having a problem in your life that you don't feel like you can overcome. And, you know, I find in my own life when I have something that maybe is really showing me to be a bad example, that's just another reason for me not to declare myself to people around me. You know, if I don't feel like I'm going to live up to what the Lord had had me to live up to, it just makes it that much harder to let people know who I am. And the Lord and through the Scriptures have given us way, given us direction that we might know how to overcome those things. So find somebody you can talk to, a minister, a dad, a grandpa, that we can trust in and trust their counsel. And I think back in my own life, growing up, I didn't have nobody that I felt like I could go to and talk to. Of course, once I moved down here, I felt like I did. And I was very thankful for some of those men who gave their time and their counsel to me as a young man. I want to move on. I think I want to go to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter, and the 13th verse. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man." And I hear people say in today's world that, well, God's just tempting you. He's just seeing what you're made of. No, that's not true. God's not tempting you. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." When we allow something to enter in our heart, and I think maybe sometimes the word lust is not the right thing, but sin definitely is. If I allow the sin of anger or frustration towards my brother to remain there and grow week after week, month after month, it's going to bring forth disaster, isn't it? It's going to bring forth death unto me, not to him. But it's going to bring forth death of the spiritual things. And so we want to recognize when we're having a difficulty, we're having a problem, it's not God's fault, it's ours. We're having difficulties, we have to deal with it, and the Lord will help us. We need to see ourselves as God sees us, if that's possible, and not allow things to remain and to grow, whether they be lustful things or worldly desires. I want to kind of remember back to the first scripture I read there, our theme for last week. You know, that we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what we're talking about, that we are doers of the word. And if we look down to the 22nd verse in this same chapter, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Deceiving your own selves. And I find that so interesting, because when I leave this room, and tomorrow morning I get up early and I drive into work, and I walk into that, unlock the door and walk into my shop there at work, and I got all these guys around. Tomorrow morning's Monday morning, so guess what? It's safety meeting morning. I got 15 guys I get to conduct a safety meeting for every Monday morning. How I conduct myself there, if I'm not careful, I'm deceiving my own self. If I don't stand up and declare who I am, what's right and what's not, the only person I'm deceiving is myself. Those guys really don't care, do they? Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, we can leave here on Sunday thinking, I'm the upstanding Christian. But if we're not the upstanding Christian on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday, we're deceiving our own self. And we're being deceived by the power of the adversary. I want to jump again, and hopefully you can stay with me here, to the second Peter, the first chapter, starting in the fourth verse, and read a few verses there. It says, Therefore, thereby are given unto you, unto us, exceeding great promise, precious promises, that by these ye may partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And really, the next few verses are the ones I want to concentrate about. But I want to read this one, because how do we escape corruption in the world and the lustful desires of our heart? By the divine nature. By employing a stronger power on high than our own ability. And let's go on, because he's going to give us some good advice here on how to really live day by day and how to declare ourselves as who we are. And it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. I'd like to talk about that for just a second. We don't live in a world that's temperate. We live in a world that's of excess. Everything around us is of excess. Bigger, better, faster, louder. Everything's to excess. But if we have these attributes in our life, if we're a man of honesty, no matter what, even if it's a difficult thing to say, if we're a man of temperance and of patience, and people see that in us, there's something different there. A man of godliness. In the seventh verse, and it said, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brother kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and I like the next phrase, and abound, not just hidden in the depths, the recesses of our being somewhere, but abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in us and abound, there's plenty of them. We show brotherly kindness by the basket load, and that we have patience and we're temperate. If these things be in us and abound, we won't be barren or unfruitful. Let's look at the other side of the coin in verse 9. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was once purged of his old sins. Not a place we want to find ourselves. Blind. We don't want to find ourselves walking through life blind spiritually and can't see afar off. And I thought the other day, as I thought of this scripture, how many people you know can't see past the problem that's right in front of them? Boy, they just can't. They have no hope or no ability to look past. Well, this will pass one of these days, and I'll get on with life. They just, all they can see is right in front of them, and it's because they lack the ability to be patient with their problems. They lack the ability to worry about others more than they do themselves, and they can't see afar off, and they have forgotten that they've been purged. Where are we at here? Let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter. Starting in the 11th verse. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which warreth against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of vindication." And I thought, how applicable to our day, that we should feel as a stranger. We shouldn't fit in. You know, I really shouldn't fit in with these biker guys at my work. And I should feel as a stranger there. And most of the time I do, I want to tell you. And even if people say things against us that are damaging, the day will come if we're steadfast and our good works will see that we'll glorify God. And isn't that the purpose that we're really wanting to make that point, that through our patience, through our diligence to do good works day in and day out, to really declare who we are, we might reach out to those around us. We might glorify God. And what a wonderful thing if the day would come. This older gentleman is actually a pretty nice gentleman. This biker guy I got working for me. His name is Mouse. That's what everybody calls him. He's got a big ponytail and gray hair and stuff, but big old beard down to here, you know, and tattoos all over him. And he needs the gospel just as much as anybody else. He needs the gospel to take effect in his life just as much as anybody else. And I've had opportunity a couple times to just gently mention to him what I'm about. But I see the struggles he has in his life at 51 years old. Doesn't really have anything, can't make the bills, has a good job. But and I think, you know, I have the answer. If somehow, some way I could convince you to listen, I have the answer. It's right here. It's written in front of us. So we can never tell who we're trying to influence. The lady I work for at Mesa Lutheran, she works for Mesa Lutheran, I told her, and she and I have had some talks about religion. I told her where I was going last week and why I was going to be gone, and I was going to youth camp and stuff, and which she's very, you know, that's fine. She's a nice lady. And I got back this last Monday and went up on the 9th floor of the building, and I'm walking down the hallway and I hear someone say, and it's a geriatric psych unit, and the people have offices along the way that I was walking, the administrators and stuff of it, and I hear somebody say, "Elmer," and that's what they call me. And I went back and it was this lady, and she, I mean, I really don't know her, you know, I know she's the boss of that area up there. And she says, "How was your week off?" And I said, "That was fine." "Oh, you went to youth camp, didn't you? What'd you do there?" You know? And I'm thinking, how'd you know that? Well, this Janice lady obviously had been talking to her. And I thought, that's it right there. If you declare yourself and declare what you're going to do, all of a sudden people are going to know. you know. And so they asked me what I did. I told them, you know, we taught a scripture theme on Titus 2:11 and told them what it was. And I taught a class on marriage and had a nice little discussion with them, you know. And that may be the end of it. I don't know, but we never can tell. But I can feel the fear of really everybody around me knowing exactly who I am. And that shouldn't be fear, but it can be. So I'm encouraging each of you that when you go to your place of work tomorrow, you go home, you can yell it over the fence, Betty, and yell over the fence to Brian's, that who you are. Who are you? Declare yourself. What you believe. That we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as Paul says. We're not ashamed of the Book of Mormon. We're not ashamed of who we are. And as more people know, they may not be interested in, but maybe somebody around them will be, and will have opportunity to preach the gospel more fully. I'm lost again, I'm sorry. How about 1 Corinthians 10:13? A scripture that we probably are all very familiar with. It says, there hath no temptation taken you such as common to man. But God is faithful, whom will not suffer that you be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make the way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Doesn't mean we're not going to have temptations, does it? It means that the Lord is going to make the way that we are able to bear it. And it doesn't mean we're not going to have trials and troubles. I gave a little testimony this morning in our service up there, and I'd like to share it with you. The Saturday of Missouri reunion, after church, after everything was all over, I had opportunity to go to the hospital and see our brother Ron Temple. And visit with him for quite some time and his wife. And I had been there the night before, but he was asleep. And there's some conflict there in the method of treatment they've chosen. A lot of people have been kind of upset with them. But I was thankful to the Lord that they really expressed a great amount of faith in him. I was thankful. I felt like the Lord was able to give me a few words that I might try and encourage them without being a drag or a discouragement to them. I have to say it's really a testimony to me that to sit or stand and talk to this gentleman, unless the Lord intervenes, he's going to die. He's going to die. And fairly soon. With total peace in his heart. Total peace in his heart. Say, you know, I'm willing. If the Lord takes me now, that's fine. If he leaves me, that's fine. And I think, isn't that what it's all about? None of us are going to escape this life living unless we happen to be alive at the time the Lord returns. But can we prepare ourselves sufficiently that when that day comes, we're not afraid, and that we have total peace, and that the Lord is able to give us that way of escape, whether it may just be peace in our heart. That may be the way of escape, and he might be able to bear us up. So I don't know what the Lord's going to do with Ron, but that's one of those things that I always remember, that here I'm talking to this guy that knows he's dying, and he doesn't have a problem with it. He does not have a problem with it. And I glory to God, and I'm thankful to God that he's able to make that kind of difference in our life. Because the average person would be scared to death laying on that bed. The average person in the world would be fearful of where the next thing lies for them. But here Ron is just laying there telling me all these things he's thankful for. All the blessings the Lord's given him, you know. And I glory to God that he can change our lives. Maybe not our circumstances, but our attitudes and the desires of our heart. Let's look in Romans the sixth chapter. And we'll start with the 12th verse, and it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." The class I taught at camp, it was just real quick, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I mean, I had hardly any time to talk about very much stuff. And I wasn't able to use anything like this. But for us here, I find that when sin is conceived in the heart and allowed to stay there and grow, then it's materialized in the instruments of our body, the members of our body, as in if I'm upset with my neighbor and day in and day out I allow that to grow, they may come, I go there and punch him out. You know, it turns to a physical thing. And here, I'm assuming it was Paul, says, you know, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. That's what we are. That's what we need to be, is an instrument of righteousness. And I'll tell you something. I have a hard time looking myself in the mirror and say, yeah, there's an instrument of righteousness. I don't look at myself that way. But that's what the Lord's calling us to, is to become an instrument of righteousness, day in and day out, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, family reunions, picnics, birthday parties of friends and relatives, everything, that we are an instrument of righteousness, that we live, that we don't go our way and forget what manner of man we are. I just have one more scripture I want to read and talk about a little bit, and that's in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 35th verse. And it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And he's going to list off a bunch of things here. "Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword..." Can any of those things separate us from the love of Christ? Are we going to allow? That's the real question. Are we going to allow those things to separate us? And we could say in our day and age, peer pressure, put that on the list. Distress, stress of daily living, hurriedness or hecticness of the day. We're going to allow those things to separate us. Relationships of our friends and our loved ones, are they going to be able to sneak in there and separate us from the love of Christ? "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." And I've read this scripture a lot of times, and I never fully, I don't think, understand it, and I'm not sure I still do. But do we look at ourselves as sheep, worthy to be sent to the slaughter? And it says in the 37th verse, and it says, "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And this is the verse I really want you guys to leave here with, if you leave here with anything. In all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who is that? Jesus Christ. We are courageous. We are able to stand. We can conquer. We have strength through Jesus Christ. Not by ourselves. Not of our own strength. And in the 38th verse it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principality nor power nor things present nor things to come, anything we can imagine, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, I'm persuaded of that same thing. I'm persuaded that if we are faithful, if we allow the love of Christ to grow in our heart, that we can face any of these things. We can face life and we can face death. And we're going to face powers and principalities. We're going to face things that aren't fair and that seem like the just unjust in our world. And that people are corrupt. And we can face them because they're not the focus, that we're not blind. We can see afar off. We can see past them. And that we have the strength and the ability to do that through Christ Jesus our Lord, that He's able to lift us up. So I thank You for Your patience with me, and I thank You for Your time. And I pray that the Lord will give us each the strength to stand up. To stand up and declare ourselves to the world we're in. We're just a little handful of people here. But if we are able to stand up and with a loud voice declare ourselves to our friends, our family, people that we work with, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in our world right here in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. I'm sorry that I added to your stress. Yes.
Maybe I'm the only one, but where do we meet Wednesday?
Huh?
Where do we meet Wednesday?
Oh, I guess you're the only one. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding with you. No, that's a good question. I had asked Justin if Joel had chosen a place, if he was going to use your pool if it's available, or the Malone pool if it's not. I don't know. I don't know what arrangements he made. I was assuming we'd meet here and then we'd go to where we're going to be baptizing. It'll either be over at our brother's house or over at your son's house, either one. Excuse me? Yeah, we would meet here first and then we'd go there, yes. But thank you, Meredith. Thank you for straightening that out for us. Because I'd hate for us to not know where we're going to meet. Is there any other things that we need to discuss? No? Yes?
There's a young lady who's a member of our church, her name is Nora Lou, and they took her to, she's in the Philippines, and Nora Lou, they took her to the hospital, and she has some type of a fever or something, I believe, I'm not sure what it is, but Nora Lou.
Nora Lou?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I never heard word about Margaret. Is she recovered or not, or... Do we know? 2, 2, 3. Let's stand and sing this song.
Thank you.
Our most kind and loving Father, we're thankful for the words that we're able to hear this night. I pray, Lord, that we be mindful of them and we apply them to our lives. And help us, Lord, to always be mindful that that you're there for us, to strengthen us, to help us throughout our life, to be able to overcome all things. I'm thankful, Father, that thy grace is sufficient for all of our needs. Now, Father, I do pray that you would go with us and keep us safe throughout the remaining of this week. I pray, Lord, that you'd return us safely again on Wednesday as we're able to come together and to worship thee and to be able to see another one of thy children make that commitment to come unto thee. Now, Father, we do thank you, and we pray these things, giving you thanks always in the blessed name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.